I'm Alex Michelson. This week, the issue is the presidential race.
But if we give Donald Trump 8 years in the White House, he will forever and fundamentally alter the character of this nation.
He may be the front runner in the polls, but now that Joe Biden is actually in the race, can he overcome being old and white? Our panel of pundits here to talk about that and more, Melissa Rivers, Jessica Levinson, Sean Steele, to talk Biden, Beto, Buttigieg, Booker, and a long list of candidates without B names.
I'm the only candidate, repeat, I'm the only candidate who's saying clearly this has to be job number one.
Washington State Governor Jay Inslee is here. Why he says the best person to tackle climate change as president is him. Plus,
it's not about how much we lost. It's about how much we have left.
And a world away from politics, one movie poised to avenge what has been a sluggish year for movie going. Entertainment reporter, film maven Ben Lyons, ready to roar, is here to talk about changing landscape of Hollywood sports and more. Put down your phones. The Issue Is starts right now. And welcome to The Issue Is. I'm Alex Michelson. A lot to discuss. Our big week in our panel is here. They're ready to go. Another busy week on the campaign trail.
We are in the battle for the soul of this nation.
With an online video, former Vice President Joe Biden officially joins the 2020 race.
I asked President Obama not to endorse. Whoever wins this nomination should win it on their own merits.
There are now at least 20 Democratic candidates running for president.
2020 doesn't stand for the year we're running. It stands for the amount of people that are probably going to run.
This week, New Jersey Senator Cory Booker visited an L.A. water treatment plant with L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti. Meanwhile, businessman Andrew Yang drawing a big crowd to downtown Los Angeles. His main message? The need for universal basic income.
What we have to do is we have to say everyone has value. Everyone is a citizen and owner of this great country, and there's a path forward for everyone.
Beto O'Rourke about to make his first California campaign stops. He's hosting an L.A. rally on Saturday and a San Francisco town hall on Sunday.
Mayor Pete.
In March, we were with South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg during his first California campaign stop. At the time, he barely polled at 1%.
How does a millennial mayor, openly gay man, win the presidency?
Well, the path is narrow, but I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't see a path. And what we found is when we get in front of people, they respond.
He was right. He's rising faster in the polls than any other candidate. And now, Hollywood is noticing. Super producer Ryan Murphy will host Mayor Pete at his L.A. home for a fundraiser June 19th.
So a lot to unpack there. Let's bring in our panel of pundits. Melissa Rivers is an author, producer, TV host, and philanthropist. Melissa is on the board of the Dede Hirsch Mental Health Services, doing important work on suicide prevention. She'll be talking about that on an upcoming Olympic and Bundy podcast with my colleague Christine Devine, you see right there. Jessica Levinson is a professor at Loyola Law School and the former president of the LA Ethics Commission. She's quoted in all sorts of national publications. Her latest article for NBC News argues that the current Supreme Court case involving citizenship questions for the next U.S. Census could hand control of the Electoral College to Republicans. Speaking of Republicans, Sean Steele is here. He's a member of the Republican National Committee from California. During the president's recent fundraisers in Beverly Hills, Steele was front and center with President Trump. Welcome to you all. All right, so Joe Biden's case is that he is the most electable, and a recent poll seems to sort of back him up, even though it's very early. This is a Politico Morning Consult poll. We want to bring that up. It shows that Biden is at 42 and Trump is at 34. That's a national poll. Melissa, what do you make of Biden's entrance into the race?
Well, I'm going to be really honest right up front. I'm a huge Biden fan. I have a very personal connection to Joe Biden. His son, Beau, the one that passed away, went to University of Pennsylvania, where I went. He was, I think, a year or 2 years behind us. He was very involved in our whole group socially. I'm thrilled. I think he's smart. I think He's logical.
I think for Joe Biden, the challenge will be that this is his third run. I think the challenge will be the fact that his voting record feels different and distinct from the current crop of candidates. And for Democratic voters, they want two things. They want to beat Trump, and they want to be true to what is, I think, a new progressive value system. And he may be able to fit number one. I'm not sure if he can fit number two.
Sean, your role with the RNC, you have to focus on who is sort of the most competitive against the president, sure. Trump. Who do you think is the most competitive?
Well, I think Joe's one of the top ones. I agree with what both my colleagues say. I think he's fundamentally a decent guy. The reality is he's entering probably the most vicious civil war in American political history in the Democrat Party. There are so many moving parts, so many competing agendas, so much money, dark money, underground money, outside money, and plus union money, but it's also the passions. And there is a huge cultural disconnect taking place in the Democrat Party in front of us. If he can actually unify that and put it together, that'll be amazing. I don't think smart money is with him on that.
The other candidate that seems to be doing really well is another senior citizen, Bernie Sanders, who's somebody else who has a lot of name recognition. In this last week, he talked about the fact that he would allow the Boston bomber to vote. And he expresses opinions that are sometimes out of the mainstream.
How excited were you to hear that?
You put on your party hat and...
Well, do you think that Bernie Sanders is too extreme to win the election?
Well, of course he is. Who would have guessed a serious Democrat politician would have said, hey, it's a great idea for the Boston Marathon killer to be able to vote in a federal election. You know what? Next week there'll be something else. That's why I love this political season. It's great.
Jessica, doesn't Bernie,
I think you like it because we're ripping each other to shreds.
The Democratic primary season is a great season.
Doesn't Bernie represent, though, a real portion of the Democratic electorate? And in terms of the issues from 2016 to now, the party seems to be more on Bernie's side than maybe on Hillary's side.
So this is something that's true on the national stage. It's something that's true on the city council level. Our representatives and candidates tend to be more polarized than the rest of us. And it tells the story of America that's torn apart. If you look at the average voter in LA or in Oklahoma or New York or Chicago, they actually are much more in the center. And I think that, but the average voter doesn't always vote in primaries.
Right, and that's why they got to start voting. And one of the candidates who's trying to run more in the center is Mayor Pete Buttigieg, who has caught fire, as we mentioned in that piece.
Well, we're not really sure if he's in the center or on the left.
Yeah, I mean, well, we don't know that much about his actual policy. Maybe is that one of the reasons? Why do you think he's on the rise so much?
Well, I think it's also like we saw with Kamala Harris and we saw with Beto O'Rourke. We all love to gravitate towards finding out more about the new, the fresh, the different. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like watching trends.
I like Mayor Pete because he just seems like a decent guy. As a gay American, he seems to be, you know, blends in, normal, responsible,
good, solid. You're a nice guy.
Hang on. Yeah, and so are you.
But the thing is, to say that he comes off like a normal person already shows me some of the problems with...
See, I'm not going to go for the politically correct stuff, and neither would your mother. The PC
stuff
does it with humor,
and I'm not sure what you said.
She's one of the biggest LGBT advocates in the history of Hollywood.
No, I know that.
That's the point.
But the bottom line is, he comes across as a decent, interesting guy with no ideas at all, and he's running for vice president. Let's be clear about that. Of the 20 people, 15, 16 are running for vice president.
So around the table, who is going to be the Democratic nominee at the end of this? Sean, we'll start with you.
I don't think we know yet, but I wouldn't undercut Kamala Harris. She's got a California primary in 7 months from now.
I think that Kamala Harris has a few things that are really important. She has the digital infrastructure. She's been enormously efficient at building the small donor base early.
The most fascinating part of this to me is who's going to end up being vice president. But I think we could have some B's. I think we could have a K. I think we could have an A for Amy Klobuchar. But I really do feel like the B's are all out in front.
All right. Well, that was a great discussion. And of course, that race goes on. As we go to break, we want to get a little music, though. This is The Temptations, Ain't Too Proud to Beg. It's the 60th anniversary of Motown this year, and there's now a Broadway show about the Temps. So let's enjoy one of my favorite songs, right?
Right.
Up next, presidential candidate and Washington governor Jay Inslee is here with a message that's unlike anyone else running. Stay with us. More of The Issue is right after this.
I'm not your Gloria Allred.
You're not going to dance with me?
That was good. I saw it.
Yeah.
From Southern California to the Bay Area, you're watching The Issue Is.
Welcome to the beginning of our series with the presidential candidates. Joining us this week is Washington Governor Jay Inslee. Last time we were with the governor, earlier this year at Seminole Springs in Agoura Hills, my hometown, as he toured the Woolsey Fire Disaster Zone. The former congressman is running a campaign mostly focused on the single issue of climate change. Governor Inslee, welcome to The Issue.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Yeah.
So let's talk about climate change for a moment. Mm-hmm. You say this is the most important issue. You're the only candidate that's solely focused on climate change. Mm-hmm. But what, from a policy perspective, are you going to do differently as president on the climate change issue that the other Democratic candidates wouldn't do?
Well, the most important thing is that I have said that this has to be the first job of the next president. It has to be the first, foremost, and paramount duty of the next president of the United States. Look, we know for a scientific certainty we're the first generation to feel the sting of climate change, and we know we're the last generation who can do something about it. So this is a urgent matter, and as a governor, I know to govern is to choose. That means you have to set priorities. I'm the only candidate, repeat, I'm the only candidate who's saying clearly this has to be job number one. Now, you said something, I'm solely running on this. I have a lot of things we've done in my state that I want to bring to the country, the best family paid leave, the best minimum wage, the first net neutrality. We have a lot of things we need to do, but we know that this is the most urgent matter that demands a national mobilization of our intellectual and skill-based assets. And so I am the candidate saying that, and I've got the chops to do it.
Do you think we need more taxes in this country in order to fix the climate change issue?
Well, I think in one sense, one thing I know we need to do is to end that huge raiding of taxpayers' pockets of $27 billion of subsidies going to the oil and gas and coal industries.
And let's talk about health care for a moment.
Yeah.
In the state of Washington, your state is moving towards a public option, which essentially means that government helps pay for your health care as a public option. Should a public option be the national model?
I think the public option is the right thing for states to do. So I would be the first governor to pass a public option. I hope we do that in the next couple of weeks. Not a done deal yet, but I hope we do that. Federally, I think we need to move forward towards a universal access. We want every American to have access to health care.
Let's talk about 2020 politics for a moment.
Mm-hmm. We're close to my heart.
We're still a ways off from the election. How are you going to pull this off?
You know, I'm kind of where Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter were when they started their races. I'm the person who is not well known, but I've been an underdog in many races. I've won legislative, congressional, and governor races starting for where I am right now. So I'm happy to be on the hunt.
And of course, you're about to have the issue as bump.
The issue bump. Issue is tsunami.
Yeah, the issue is tsunami. Let's talk. We like to play some games here on the show. So we got a couple games for you. First one is called the name game. We're going to say the name of some well-known figures. And we'd love if you could come up with one word or a really short phrase that comes to mind. First thing that comes to mind, right? Okay. So here we go. President Donald Trump.
A blip in history, to be more exact.
Vice President Mike Pence.
A similar asterisk to the blip in history.
President Barack Obama.
Incredible talent.
Vice President Joe Biden.
An interesting figure.
There you go. Potential competitor. Howard Schultz, the CEO of Starbucks. A potential presidential candidate.
A potential huge mistake, and I hope Howard does not make that mistake. It would be sullying his business career, and anything that I believe that would make the election of Donald Trump more likely would be a heinous result.
Bernie Sanders.
Bernie's formerly a really good basketball player.
As are you, right?
Well,
as am I.
Maybe not as good as Bernie, I don't know.
Let's talk, do one more game. This is called Personal Issues. Enough talking about everybody else. Let's talk about you. Okay, so we're going to put 30 seconds on the clock, some lightning questions that'll be kind of fun to get to know you a little better. So here we go. Favorite superhero?
My wife, Trudy Inslee. I worked for 46 years.
Last book you read?
The Uninhabitable Earth.
Favorite meal?
A broiled cheese sandwich.
Ooh. First concert you went to?
The Mamas and the Papas, 1964.
Good one. Dogs or cats?
Oh, well, listen, you should never answer that question running for president, but I got to say dogs.
All right. Favorite author?
Herman Melville.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it there. But we do like to play some music on this show, so we have a special song for you. This is Justin Timberlake's Man of the Woods, because we know you like the climate, you like to be outside.
I appreciate it. I was hoping for Jimi Hendrix' Purple Haze, but anyway.
Well, enjoy a little JT.
All right.
Back with more of The Issue Is right after this. And now is your chance to get to dance. Do you like a little JT every once in a while?
I've been barred by both law and custom from dancing in public.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Trying to rock the boat. get registered to vote, man. It's important. You get to dictate the future. By
NBA star Kevin Durant and his teammates with the Golden State Warriors doing their part for democracy in a Rock the Vote ad. Our next guest helped to be a part to make all that happen. Benz Lyons, well known in the world of entertainment, politics, and sports. He hosts the Mostly Football Show on Yahoo Sports. He also hosts the Lyons Den podcast on Podcast One. He's a frequent host on ESPN Los Angeles. There he is right there, the Lyons Den podcast. Ben Lyons,
welcome
to the Issuist.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for providing this wonderful platform for the residents of the great state of California. And it's really been amazing to watch you amplify such wonderful stories that affect and impact our state, and it's really cool to be a part of it. So thanks for having me.
We should stop there, because it's never going to get any better than that for me. Okay, let's talk about Rock the Vote, though, and works that you're doing with the Warriors. And more generally, the concept of athletes and activism.
I remember the morning after the 2016 presidential election, and I was sitting there confused and bewildered, and like many Americans, and kind of wondering what I could do and what my part in the conversation moving our country forward would be. And as a huge NBA fan, I know how the league markets the All-Star game to us as fans. Vote for LeBron, vote for Chris Paul, vote for Kevin Durant. As a Knicks fan, there's no one to vote for. But I would like now for the NBA and for basketball culture to get behind voting for the game of life. And to their credit, to Steve Kerr and the Golden State Warriors being the leaders of the league, they jumped right on board. They are the real life Avengers for so many young people. They are the real life superheroes, not only just for young people, for grown-ups too. And so to see them go out there and stand behind a cause like this, which is essentially just doing the bare minimum, right? Voting, I think has a great impact, and it was really inspiring to be a part of and to see the impact it had on other people.
Well, you compared the Warriors to the Avengers, but the Avengers on screen are debuting this weekend the Endgame film, which could make $1 billion.
That's amazing.
That's your other area of expertise, the film world. Why do you think that has become such a phenomenon?
You know, they're all kind of outsiders and misfits and the people that society has kind of passed over or forgotten. And I think that fundamentally is what draws people in to these underdog stories told on this height and scale. And it takes you right back to your childhood. I mean, we all pretended we are at superpowers at one point or another. And anytime you can tap into that nostalgia, it's a powerful currency. And I think that's why people respond to it.
But sort of broader in terms of the Hollywood, where Hollywood is at right now, it's been hard to draw people to the movies because there's so much great stuff on TV and so much stuff streaming, and a lot of the big stars are on TV and streaming now.
Yeah.
But you have here the Avengers literally like the characters, the movie stars coming together.
You know, back in the day, movies were the only time you could see your favorite movie stars. So when an actor was in a film, it was an event. Well, now we can see them on Instagram, we can see them in the tabloids, and we can see them on talk shows. So it's no longer an event to see the movie. So there are very few movie stars who can kind of carry the release of a film on a global scale on their back. So what did they do? They all joined forces. They said, all right, one movie star can't open a movie, so how about 100? And they put them all in this movie. And what I love about this is, as a fan of film, this is commercial popcorn entertainment for the masses, and they do a wonderful job with these movies. The fact that these stars can earn a living now and have their exposure risen because they're in these films, they can go out there and make the artistic passion projects that they can do at Sundance, or the little niche films that would never otherwise get an audience. Now they have a chance because they're part of the Avengers, and so I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, well, one thing we do know that you do love is basketball, so we've got some music for you on that scene.
Okay.
And up next, we want some predictions from Ben, including about the NBA Finals.
Oh, let's do it. Let's do it.
A little Basketball Jones.
I love the DJ on this show. Shout out to the DJ. You guys did a great job.
That's this guy. Welcome back. Like me, Mr. Ben Lyons here has a deep love of basketball, also film and politics. So here are three big questions. We're going to put you on the hot seat
Okay?
So who is going to win the NBA championship?
Golden State Warriors. This is one of the greatest displays of teamwork and the beauty of basketball we've ever seen. I think it's going to be Warriors and Celtics.
Who's going to win the Oscar next year, even though it's early?
Very early, but the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood film from Quentin Tarantino getting a lot of buzz, obviously. I think you could see Brad Pitt maybe win his first Oscar. It's getting a lot of early buzz, but here we are. We got 10 months till the awards. Yeah. Give me a little
beat
to see.
That's how good you are. And then who is going to win the Democratic nomination?
Beto O'Rourke has my support. I really believe in what he stands for and his compassion, his humanity. I don't know if he has the momentum on a national stage. Potentially Biden and Beto could be a winning ticket. I think your panelists were right, though. It's definitely in the three Bs.
Okay. Well, we like to play music on the show, as we mentioned, and your choice is A Tribe Called Quest, I Left My Wallet in El Segundo.
Magic Johnson, you left your wallet in El Segundo and you were walking out on the Lakers, dude. You got to go and get it. Go and get it. Shout out to Tribe Called Quest.
We encourage you to listen to a special podcast we just recorded with Ben, where we talk about his background, dig a lot deeper into these big issues. In fact, you can listen to all of our past episodes in podcast form, plus a lot of digital extras. Search for The Issue Is wherever you stream. Please subscribe as well. That's all for this week. I'm Alex Michelson. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. And we take it away. Tribe. Came to a toll, we paid and went through it. Had no destination. We was on a quest.